This is the Living Fearless Today podcast, a show that helps men like you and me who are struggling to get unstuck and overcome fear to live confidently and courageously. I'm your host and transformation coach, Mike Forrester, helping you create the change you want now. Join me as I interview men who've conquered their challenges and soared to success as they spill their secrets on how they live fearless today. Well, hello and welcome back, my friend. Man, today I'm joined by Robert Foster, and Robert's got an amazing story of the fact that, you know, the things of life that can hold us back, that if we give them that power, they will hold us back. And instead, Robert chose to make that decision and set out and accomplish his dreams. Robert's done well over 150 obstacle competitions, and he's done track and field and got medals for that. He's not let the thing that would be the barrier hold him back. Instead, it's been the thing that's elevated him and been that catapult to take him to the next level, not just physically, but also emotionally and mentally. You know, because when you face those physical hurdles, it calls for you to change yourself, to pull something out of you different than what you've operated in before. It takes us to a new level. So to live that life that we're wanting, it causes us to change. And so totally excited to get in here with Robert and start rocking and rolling. Robert, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely, man. Well, we had a chance to talk before, and it's like the things, you know, that you've gone through both with your knee, as far as, you know, getting past the injury there and taking a weakness and making it a strength. You know, the challenge of, you know, anytime a parent passes, but especially with our dads, you know, when they pass, it's got a special place, we'll say. You know, the different mental and emotional things that can go on for us, you know, as guys that we don't talk about, dude, you've had some stuff that you've gone through, and I'm just totally excited. So let's start off with, you know, where things are today. What does it look like professionally for you, man?
So last year was a very trying year where I literally lost everything and I walked away from my business and my fitness clients and like literally started from square one. You know, so I found myself in a situation where I was able to be taken advantage of. I don't blame the person who took advantage of me. I blame myself for allowing that to happen. But I'm also a glass is always full kind of guy. It's either half water, all air. If it's empty, it's all air. Sorry. So the glass is always full. So I said, all right, so I have to take what happened here and we have to rebuild. And so when I initially built my fitness business, I built it from nothing. It was supposed to be a hobby for me. And it ended up, you know, I have all this stuff. Why don't I place an ad and see if I can, you know, train a couple of people, make some side cash. And then a couple of years later, we opened up a 5,000 square foot facility, right? So coming from that, and then COVID came and kind of wrecked that. And so I was like, all right, let me go back to renting space. So I rented space and, you know, we were supposed to join forces and collaborate. And then I just found myself in a situation where I worked for 10 months with zero pay. And so, like I said, it's my own fault for letting it get that far, but it caused me to lose my house, lose my car, had to split my kids up, and ultimately move back home. Because I was homeless for about 5 days or so, bouncing between hotels when I finally swallowed my pride and I called my mom. And so, like we were saying the other day about with men, like a lot of men wouldn't get on a public platform and just admit all that, you know, because like, you know, we have our pride and you're this and that. And you, like, you called your mommy to go back home. And it's one of those things where you got to swallow your pride and focus on the bigger vision. Like my vision has always been helping people get out of their own way. So I found myself in my own way. I had to get myself out of my way, rebuild myself, and so I can push back to where I am now, where I'm back to having my podcast. I'm back to coaching track and field. Now I have a car again. I have I have all the tools that I need to move forward And just a month ago, my book, Shut Up and Grind, hit the shelves. And so things are moving in the positive direction, but like I had to go through the darkness to be able to see this light.
Yeah. And I think that's often like we kind of do that like lone wolf where you go through that situation and just like, you know, 5 days, hey, I'll figure this out. And it's like, okay, if I really want to get out of this, I need to raise my hand and say help. And we as men are more of the keep it under wraps, you know, let's push it to the back and not show it. So I love the fact that you didn't do that. Instead, it's how do I continue moving on? What tools do I have and how do I move forward? And we'll jump that into that in a short bit here.
Yes.
What about on the personal side now? Because I mean, things where they were just a year ago, you're not in that same place, man. What does it look like personally today?
Personally, the outlook looks great because everything that I do, it helps other people. So whether it's being at the gym, whether it's coaching, whether it's having my own platform, coming on other people's platforms, you know, getting out and promoting the book, which is about overcoming self-doubt and the fear of public speaking. So it's taking people who are hurting and getting them to express that hurt, but in a positive, inspirational manner. Because everybody goes through tough times. Everybody goes through dark times. But when you're in the midst of it all, you have two choices. I can allow this to hurt me, or I can allow this to propel me. And so when everything first happened last year, I let it hurt me. In the beginning, a lot of it was humiliation that I let things get that bad. You know, I like the embarrassment of moving back home. And it's all those like societal stigmas that get attached to men. Like we're not supposed to cry, we're not supposed to feel, we're not supposed to express ourselves. And then that's why a lot of men end up taking their own lives because they feel like they have no other option. And so I wanted to make my mission once I got myself back on the right track. And like, I didn't go see a counselor. I didn't take any medications. I literally had a conversation with myself in the mirror. And some people say, oh, that doesn't work. That's just, you know, whatever talk. But literally I was brushing my teeth and I glanced up. I locked with my own eyes in the mirror and was like, dude, what are you doing? I was like, what are you doing? Like, you are better than this. I'm like, you help people get out of their own way. How are you going to let life just box you in like this? And then from that moment, I just started taking actionable steps. Now, going to see my old high school track coach to see if I could either join the team or at least volunteer. And then from there, I landed a job. Granted, it was bussing tables, right? But when you're in that dark place, you got to do what you got to do. And so, like, I needed money. And so I started bussing tables and then I landed back in the very first gym I walked into. I hit the jackpot. Like the owner and I gelled and I ended up running now his second location. But all because I took the blinders off. I took off the woe is me blinders. And it's okay to feel. Sometimes people need to feel that. But like I said, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to let it continue to hurt you or are you going to let it propel you? In the beginning, I let it hurt me. But then once I let it propel me, like the opportunities are everywhere. Like I just joined Podmatch last week and I pitched 60 some odd people and I'm closing in on 15 bookings already in a week. You know, because like every spare minute that I have, I'm pitching people. Everyone in that self-improvement, personal development space, because it's so needed in the world because there's so much negativity out there between the mainstream news and social media. They need people like us to get out there and be like, hey, you're going through tough times, but there's another way.
We can get in our way without even realizing that we're in the way.
Yes.
And it's almost like we're a boulder that's like, hey, I don't want to be here, but here I am.
Yeah.
And when you don't step and like you talked about, hey, I looked myself in the eye. I said, this is not where we're going to be. But you took action. You created a plan and started moving on it. It's not the ideal life, but it's like, this is my life. This is my reality. What can I do? And that is the most powerful thing, man, because when you sugarcoat it for yourself, you're harming yourself. You're cutting yourself off at the knees. One thing that you'd said is, you know, like, hey, in the beginning, I was really struggling, you know, with the shame, the emotions. Dude, in a situation like that, I don't think any of us guys have a problem understanding I'm ticked off at the person that, you know, did this to me. I'm ticked off at myself. I do feel the shame. I feel the guilt. How did you move past that, Robert? Because for a lot of guys, that becomes the anchor, man, that holds us to that situation, right? It holds us to that less than, like you talked about, that woe is me. Dude, it just keeps the door from our possibilities closed. How did you move beyond that? Not expecting you to do it overnight, but, you know, but how did you work through it and move beyond that stuff?
Well, you just said the key phrase right there. I worked through it. You know, it's like a lot of people just get consumed by their struggles. And in my intro video to my podcast, I mentioned you got to have clarity of vision. And so even though everything was crumbling in late 2022, early 2023, the eye was still on the prize, believe it or not. The eyes were still there. So it's like I finally chalked it up to this has to happen in order for me to get to where I want to be. Because as long as I'm here, I'm kind of in a place of comfort. And as you know, there's no growth in your comfort zone. So it was tough for me to walk away from my gym clients. So it's almost like that betrayal had to happen because that gave me the courage to drop the keys on the desk and message all my clients being like, I'm sorry, but as of today, I have to shut it down. Like it was one of the toughest decisions to make because some of my clients were with me 5, 8, 10, 12 years. You know, when you're working with people for that long, and they've trusted you for that long, you know, it's really, really hard to walk away from that. But if I didn't do that, I wouldn't be on this path that I'm on now. You know, so it's one of those things where you look at the situation, it's like, yeah, I could have been mad at the other person, but I was like, you know what? Like, I can't put this on him. You know, like he was fortunate enough to get 10 months of free labor. Good for him. You know, I was like, I just took it that way. And I was sharing with someone at the gym with a gentleman about all that happened. And he said to me, he's like, how could you let him win? And I said, What did he win? I left behind a couple $1,000 worth of equipment, but that's it. But I'm out of that crosshair now. It's like I'm literally free. Like the weight is lifted. Like my stomach isn't in knots going into that gym every day. You know, wondering is he going to pay me? Is he not going to pay me? Is he going to pay me? Like how am I going to get? Like I'm losing my house in a matter of weeks. Like all of that stress was lifted when I shut that door and locked it behind me. Actually, I didn't lock it because I left the keys on the desk. Right. So anyway, when that door shut behind me, and I got it. Actually, no, I didn't even get in my car because I didn't have a car then. So, yeah, that's right. I called an Uber and I took an Uber down here to mom's. And it was like just the weight was gone. But granted, the uncertainty of what's next was still there. But I had to reconcile with what just happened. You know, so that took, you know, like I said, about a good month to 6 weeks of just like, the hell am I going to do? What the hell am I going to do? And so I get here. And again, like mom and dad had a big yard, you know, so like dad passed in 2019 and he took care of like all of the outside. Like that was just his thing. And so when I got here, a lot of the outside stuff needed addressing. So like I just started getting into that. Like I would wake up in the morning, and this was in February, so it was cold. Right? So I'd get up in the morning and I'd go outside and just start raking leaves, moving wood, moving scrap metal. And I just kept my mind occupied. Because as you know, your conscious mind can derail your subconscious mind if you allow it. So like I was trying to keep my conscious mind busy so my subconscious mind still knows the clarity of vision and what we really want to accomplish. So I just took those few weeks to kind of just, you know, refresh myself, you know, get a nice restart. And then once I restarted my podcast, that podcast guest, like listening to her story refueled me to just get out there and just start knocking on every door you can knock on until you find what it is you're looking for. Just like, you know, in any, like in sales, you know, you got to talk to 100 people to close 20 sales. Like that's just, that's how the game is played. I mean, it's probably a higher percentage than that, depending on the industry, but you know what I mean, right? So it's like you have to go through that. But the first restaurant, no, actually I lied, the second restaurant I walked into was the one that hired me. The first gym I walked into is the one that hired me. When it came time to get a car, the first dealership I walked into, I got a car. You know, so it's like everything just fell right into place once I stopped blaming the external forces and I put the accountability on myself.
Do you think that oftentimes we'll kind of think like the situation in our head, we just make it worst case scenario, and instead, like you're talking first place, second place, hey, I'm getting this traction, I'm getting this movement. Do you think that we don't take action because we've made it into such a mountain to overcome that it's in our imagination, it's bigger than the reality actually exists? Do you think that kind of occurs?
Oh, absolutely. As human beings, we're programmed to look for danger. Like we're programmed. You know, if you think about it, long before we had houses and supermarkets and all this other stuff, we were hunter-gatherers, right? So to protect yourself, you had to constantly be on the lookout for danger. So we have all these comforts of life now, but that doesn't change our DNA programming. So most people, like I said, if I said to you, hey, Mike, I just got a great tip on this stock. If you can put $2,000 in right now, you know, it's projected to return 200%. You know, you're gonna be thinking $2,000. That's a lot of money. What if I lose it all? You know, like you're gonna just start going through all of these negative what ifs. Like our brains are programmed for that. So that's where our conscious mind has to be aware of our end goal. You know, because a lot of people have it in the subconscious mind, but then they lose it with all the conscious thoughts, all those negative what ifs, and putting up the walls and the barriers and staying in the comfort bubble. But once you step out of that comfort bubble, you know, the GPS theory, it's like if you're driving somewhere and the road is closed, you don't just turn around and go back home, right? It reroutes you, right? It reroutes you around the road. The closed road, and it puts you back on the path. So when obstacles arise in life, like I remember once I was doing for track coaching, there's a bunch of certifications that you have to get through the state. And I was through one of the longer ones. I was about an hour and a half into it. And I stopped to get a drink, you know, got some food. I came back and I was like, you know what, I'll finish this later. And I closed the laptop. Because nowadays, most everything auto saves. Right. So most everything does. And my bad for assuming that it auto saves. So I went back maybe half an hour later, opened up the laptop, and it's like back at the first page. And it's like, you got options, you know, like I can let that, you know, get me mad and throw a fit and whatever. It's like, I just, okay, start and just went right back to work. You know, so it's like at the end of the day, if the work needs to get done, just cut out the middleman, cut out all the theatrics, and just get to work.
So it's one of those, if I'm hearing you right, Robert, feel the emotions, but don't dwell on the emotions. Yeah. Like don't camp out there.
Yes.
Feel them, go, yep, that's valid. Okay. What's the reality right now? What are my options like you talked about? And then take action on the one that you see is the best before you right now. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. So one example I always use, I say on one side you have problem, on the other side you have solution, right? Stress and all that other stuff resides in the middle, right? So when things come up, that's like right now, if my daughter comes in and says, hey, the bathroom sink is leaking, okay, right? So that's the problem. If I don't address the problem, that leak is going to turn into a flood. Right, that flood is going to turn into floor damage, right? And the floor damage is going to turn into so it might leak out onto the carpet, and now the carpet gets moldy, right? So from not addressing the problem, it's just going to snowball, and it's the same thing emotionally. Like if something hurts you, it's like you have to talk about it. You can't keep it inside. But as humans, again, we're taught, especially men, we're taught to just mask it. You know, ladies are better at this. You know, I'm not trying to stereotype here, but ladies will, they have their girlfriends. You know what that dude said today? You know, but a man can go and get totally emasculated and he's got no place to go. You know, because if he calls another guy, they're just going to end up bashing the woman. Right? It's like, they're not going to talk about what actually hurt him. Because we're supposed to be macho and strong all the time. But what people don't realize, if you get up in front of 1,000 people and you share a story that makes you emotional, what do people usually do in that room? Right? They start applauding because that takes true strength to get up in front of other people and let them see that vulnerability. Like if I talk about my dad being sick from start to finish, I can't get through that entire story without welling up at some point. Like, it's going to happen. So I'm not going to just not tell that story, right? That's real life. Like, that's a real emotion. And especially with us men, with us doing that, it lets other men know, you know what? It's okay. You know, it's okay. Like, say if you really, really loved your wife and she ended up leaving you for whatever reason. And if you don't reconcile that feeling, like, you're going to keep carrying it with you. And the thing with men, like when men get over emotional, people get hurt. You know, that's what happens with men. People get hurt. You see like the stabbings and the shootings and or they hurt themselves, like we mentioned with suicide earlier. Like it's very, very important to let those emotions out. Like I can't stress that enough. And again, going back to the book, like I didn't write this for the sake of selling books. Like, I wrote this because you know how they always say, be the change you want to see? And I was like, there's so many people out there that doubt themselves, that don't think they're good enough, that don't think their story's strong enough, that they don't think anyone will listen to them or will want to hear what they have to say. And that is not true. Like, there's 13 worksheets in this book that will take you from whatever hurt you, and it can either, A, just help you heal from it. Right. Just help you heal from whatever, because you know how they always say journaling helps. So this is like a step by step journal guide, but it also teaches you how to talk about it. So like if you want to join a support group or if you want to start your own support group or like you started this podcast to help speak to men who are struggling in that regard. But so now it teaches you to take those stories inside of you and do something positive with it that can help other people heal as well.
Oftentimes we as guys, because we're not talking about it, think with that we're the only one with that struggle or in that, you know, that rut, that situation.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, the more you look out there, the more you realize that this is a fallacy, that it is common for us to go through similar stuff. Is it the exact same? No. Like Robert, you and I, we've both had knee problems, right? But it's not been from the same thing. And so it's like, okay, well, what are my choices? Do absolutely nothing. We both have that. Or address it and strengthen our knee and, you know, keep working on it to move forward. It's like, it's not the same exact journey, but there's similarities. And, you know, it's that action that you talked about earlier. We can take action to address the challenge that we face, the weakness that there is. It may take you a month and it may take me 6 months or vice versa, but it's how long are you in the game and what are you willing to do until it's resolved in the way you're looking for.
Speaking of knees, let me share something real quick.
Yeah.
So I ruptured my patella tendon, right? And two of my quad muscles had complete atrophy. Doctor initially said that I wouldn't run or jump again. So we fast forward. I'm in a Walmart shopping, right? I have my big old 3 foot brace on. And I just run into some other gentleman that had a brace on too. It looked like he had like a regular ACL brace, but he had the big scar like I had, because like my scar is like that big. And so he's like, hey, what you have done? I was like, you know, patella rupture. He's like, oh, that same thing happened to me. And he bends his leg about 90 degrees. He's like, get ready for that, because that's all you're going to be able to bend it. And so I unlocked my brace and I was like, I already got full range. See, so what happened?
How did he handle that?
Right? So what happened there? He just accepted his limitation, whereas I did not. When I was going through my rehab, there's this machine, it's called a CPM machine. So for people that have major surgeries, like you lay your leg on it, and it helps you bend your leg. Oh, can't see. Like, it moves your leg up and down. And so the physical therapist had told me do it a minimum of 3 hours a day. She didn't give me a maximum. I was on that thing all day long. And the same thing with the two muscles that had the atrophy, they gave me electric stim. And same thing, they're like, minimum 3 times a day. They didn't give me a maximum. So between the CPM machine and that e-stim, it was like my now ex was like, are you overdoing it? I said, they didn't tell me not to do it X amount of time. I was like, so this is what I'm doing. And so like when I went back for that first follow-up, she was like, oh my God. She's like, we don't ever see range like this. And I was like, yeah, it's like, I wasn't reckless about it. It's like, I found my threshold. Like when I had my shoulder surgery, they were like, don't move it for 6 weeks. I was like, that's not happening. It's like, because I understand how the body works. So I'm like, that's not happening. So like, I would move and be like, oh, all right, that hurts. And I would move just like that. Keep it right there. It's like, how high can I go? Oh, that hurts. All right, so we'll move right here. And then same thing, my first follow-up, the physical therapist, she's like, all right, we're going to test your range of motion. I'm like, keep going. I'm like, oh, keep going. I'm like, keep going. And she's like, oh my God. Like, and I literally got all the way up on my very first appointment. And it was just from finding your own threshold. And again, disclaimer, I'm not telling people not to listen to your doctor. I'm just telling you what I did. Right? I always say that on my shows just because you never know. It just takes one troll to report you. You know, but the point is, like, going back to the clarity of vision, like when your eye is on the prize, you do what it takes to get it there. You know, you do what it takes.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's like, you can just imagine that guy seeing your range of motion and what's got to go through his head. Like, okay, do I take responsibility? Do I make change? Do I stay here? Like, hey, you know, your results, you took action. Those are the results you got. When you see something different, you're still in control. Like, he's in control of what he does. Okay, do I push it? Do I ask questions, or do I just stay with where I'm at? So, you know, even though we may not feel like we're in control, we have a lot more control than I think we'll admit, because, you know, the results may not be where we want them to be. So the responsibility is then like, all right, what are you willing to do?
Yeah, exactly. Like, and even with opportunities, like my sister, she's also a speaker, but like she's of the mindset of the, it's all in who you know. And I always try to reframe it for him. Like, it's all in who you ask. Like, why am I on your show now? Because I pitched you. I asked. Right? It's like, I saw what you were all about. And I was like, you know what? Let's throw him a pitch. See what happens. And just today, I was pitching every place that I could, every newspaper, every magazine. Like, I'm starting local in Rhode Island because this state is so small. You know, I figure if I can get enough local write-ups that I can land a news spot. And I know once I land a news spot, you know, things are gonna change because that exposure is just insane. But it's like, but I'm asking everybody, like every single day, I'm sending out a minimum of 20 pitches. So it's like, you know, if it's all in who you know, how are you going to know people if you don't get out and ask? What are you going to do? Just sit on your couch and one day the news is just going to call you? She was one of my clients for a long time. But so she had reached out to me for the first time in years. And so she sends me like a voice clip saying that a year and a half ago, this is probably 2.5 years ago now. So in the voice message, like a year and a half ago, she found her brother dead. Now, like, no one had heard from him for a while. And so she went to go check on him. And I guess he was gone for a while because, like, the scene she described was not cool. I'm not going to go into detail here. But, like, just know, don't ever want to see what she saw. So anyway, so I picked a time because she's local here in Rhode Island. And so I took some time and I went up to go see her at her gym up in Pawtucket. And so we got to talking, you know, I let her talk, let her hear her story. And then I talked about, you know, watching my dad die. I said, so these are two different situations, but the pain is the same. You know, like, and that's what I try to get audiences that I talk to understand. And like, and I'll put out three different things. Like my mom is fighting breast cancer now. So like, she's got to go to radiation treatments every single day. You know, so when she wakes up, there's things that she has to go through to get through each day. When I was learning to walk and run again, there were things I had to do every single day. You know, a woman who's 9 months pregnant, you know, she's dealing with swollen feet and the baby on her bladder and back pain, foot pain. You know, like, there's things that she has to go through to get through every single day. And then once we realize that it's not a comparison of what are we going through, the daily pain is the same. You know, and so once the audiences realize that, you know, it's not like, oh, well, I have cancer. Yeah, well, I was told I'd never run a jump again. Oh, well, I have this and I have that. Like, it's not a contest over who's suffering the worst. You know, the thing is that pain is global. It's a global problem. But, you know, what's also global is the comeback. You know, like, and that's my mission, is to help people who are struggling in that pain and help them reframe that pain so that they can have a comeback.
And I think you can always find those people that want to do the competition, or just, you know, misery loves company is the saying for it, right? You can wallow with somebody else, or you can choose to, you know, make that decision. I'm going to take action. I'm going to make change and look around you to see, like, hey, who do I have in my corner that can help me, that will encourage me? And like you talked about earlier as well, that clarity. What's the clear vision? What's the path forward? You've talked about your dad and his passing a couple times. That gave you a chance to have some clarity. Take us back to what was going on, and then we'll jump into how you came out of that.
Okay, yeah, so everything happened so quickly. Like, remember, it was January in 2019. He came to the gym because, as you know, as you mentioned earlier, I do obstacle races. And so we had to climb a 5-foot climbing wall, and he comes down to the gym. He does some measurements because he was going to expand it to 7 feet because, like, I had a second 5-foot wall, so we wanted a taller one. And so, like, he's in there, he's doing his thing, he's writing up his sketches, because he was an engineer, so everything to him was, like, to scale, right? 100% to scale. I'm like, Dad, you're just slapping some 2x4s up on this thing. But, nope, he had a whole schematic. So, and I want to say it was, like, 3 weeks later, you know, Mom called and says, oh, you know, Dad's in the hospital, he's not feeling so great. And I was like, okay. And so then he gets out of the hospital, and then I go see him, and he had lost a good amount of weight in that short amount of time. And it's like, what's happening here? You know, so we'll go even maybe 2 months out now, and he's just like getting weak. Again, he's still getting smaller, like he's losing strength. And then we find out he had stage 4 heart failure. Right. And so, but just watching him get worse and worse and worse, like that was the toughest part. Cause as I said, he was an engineer, he was a man's man, loved building stuff, loved using his hands. And let me tell you, he almost called his shot, because he used to say in his 50s that when he couldn't build anymore, that was going to be his time to go. All right, so he was 79 years old, and so he was scheduled for open heart surgery up at Hartford Hospital in Connecticut. And the night before, he and my son, who's a mechanic, fixed my mom's car, and they were supposed to leave here at 4:30 in the morning, something like that. My mom said that he was out there to like 1 a.m. with stage 4 heart failure, losing strength, but he was not going inside until my mom's car was fixed. It's like, that's just the kind of man he was. Like, he was the original shut up and grind. Like, what he wanted, he did whatever he had to do to get it. So it's like, I adopted that mentality from him. So it's one of those things where he has the surgery, he comes out of it, he's looking good, but then something else happened. We don't know what happened. Like, something else happened in there. They had to open him up again, but this time they left him open. So it was at that moment where I was like, he's not coming back from this. Like if he was coming back, they would have closed him back up again. It's like, why is he still open? Right? That didn't make any sense. So I started mentally preparing at that point because I'm like, I'm a realist, right? We're all gonna die. It's just a matter of when, right? So it's like in my particular family, like my cousin just passed away just yesterday at 63. Like there's a history of young deaths in my family. So the fact that my dad was pushing 80, you know, was pretty cool because like that's not a big thing in our family. You know, it's just not. So I was mentally preparing. I'm like, all right, so we're going to lose him. And how I got through it was I shifted to gratitude. No, because doing my podcast, I interviewed people from all over and I've heard so many things, but I've interviewed a bunch of people that never knew their dad. So I was 45 when my dad passed. So I'm like, I mean, yeah, the sadness is there, but it's like I had this man for 45 years. And there's so many things that he left behind, whether it was teaching, sayings, crazy quotes, YouTube videos of him dancing like a fool, you know, his motivational speeches. Like there was just so much stuff that he left behind where it's like, if I want to hear his voice, I can just pop on a video, you know, like even right now in this room that I'm sitting in, there's pictures of him here, pictures with my mom. There's a poem he wrote, you know, like there's just so many things that he left behind where it's like, I'm grateful, you know, here it comes. You know, it's like, I'm grateful for the time that I had and the fact that he was there. Like he was there for almost everything, whether it's sports, whether it's after school activities, like no matter what it was, bringing me, you know, to and from work back in the day. And he was just always there. When I needed a kick in the tail, he was there. You know, when I needed that uplifting, he was there. You know, it's, like I said, not everyone has that. And so even though, yes, watching him take that last breath, like I'll never unsee it, but I'm actually kind of grateful that I got to see it. Because to put it into perspective, one of my gym clients, her father just suddenly dropped. Suddenly, out of the blue. I mean, we at least he had three generations around him when he took that last breath. You know, we all got to hug him, kiss him, tell him we love him, and all that. It's like, you know, my mom sang a song to him, you know, then they turned off the machine and you know, off he went. But it's just one of those things. Like, I hope I have an ending that good. Like, I don't want my kids to just come home one day and find me sprawled out on the living room floor. You know what I mean? It's like I don't want that for them, but to have an ending like that, it's like, you're almost kind of envious. It's like, I want an ending that way.
Well, and the thing, as you've shared stories about your dad with me, I think your dad was so on track because it's like he's showing up for you for different events, right? He's present. And I mean, you talked about, you know, a lot of guys don't know their dad, or like, you know, for me, my dad was there, but he wasn't there. He was present, but not engaged, let's put it that way. And so, you know, it's like we all long for that dad that's approving, that's accepting, that's loving, and, you know, validates us, approves of us. You know, and he made the effort to be there for your stuff. And then for your son, like you were talking about, you know, they worked on the car, him affirming him that night to say, hey, I'm proud of you. Dude, how many of us as guys have that father wound where it's just, hey, I wish that I could hear those words. And it's like not ever receiving them. Your dad did a whole lot that was loving for his family, you know? And it's like to aspire to have that, to embody that. I mean, dude, that he was a great man. In my book, just off of what I've heard from you, man, I'm like, dude, the guy hit a home run with his family.
Thank you.
So, from that experience, you've shared with me like, hey, I had clarity. It became like nitrous oxide for you in your life. You know, the dedication, the commitment to it. When he passed, how did you then kind of go forward from it? You know, obviously you're not detached and unemotional. It's impactful. But then you took something that's, you know, a heartbreaking and grieving situation and kind of used it as like a catapult into your future life.
Yeah, so it was tough because the very next day I had a podcast and I'm always talking about showing up, right? Like you got to show up when you're supposed to be somewhere, you got to show up. Cause at first I was going to cancel it, but then I was like, nah, like I don't want to be a hypocrite. So just because other people would say, I totally understand, that doesn't mean you should do it. Right. I said, this is going to be more impactful if I show up in the raw. It's fresh. It's less than 24 hours ago. He took his last breath. You know, because he died at 6 p.m. and my show was at noon the next morning. You know, so it was like 18 hours ago. I watched the man pass away. And so I get up there. I just spent the first 10 minutes of the episode doing a tribute to him. Like I had pictures and videos made up. I put it to music. I let it play. And I was just sobbing for like the first 10 minutes of the episode. And my poor guest, by the time my poor guest comes on, she's sobbing too. She's like, oh my God, that was so beautiful. No, but like it was tough to get through, but I know people grieve at their own rate. With me, I try to get through it as quickly as possible. And it's not even like a whole manly thing. I'm too busy. as funny as it sounds, but it's like I have too much going on where I need to be in a positive mindset between, again, being at the gym. I host two podcasts. I speak on podcasts. I coach track and field, and I'm raising kids, you know, and I'm writing articles somewhere in the mix there too. So it's like, I literally don't have time. So I feel what I feel, and then I try to move past it as quickly as possible. And I think action plays a big role in that. Like when you have stuff to do, that really does help you heal. Cause if you just sit on your bed, you know, drinking whatever, and you just stay in that sea of emotions. And then over time, it's going to consume you. You know, so like my recommendation to people is like, go at whatever your pace is, but have an outlet. Like my outlet is speaking. Like if I'm feeling a certain way about someone, I can just go live on YouTube, go live on Facebook and just talk. Like that's my outlet. If I don't want to talk, my backup outlet is hiking. Whereas like if I'm having a moment, because again, I am human. I have moments, you know, so if I'm having a moment, I'll usually put on headphones. I'll find something inspirational. Sometimes I'll even listen to my own podcast, or if I was on somebody else's podcast, sometimes if I want one of the big boys, I'll go to like Eric Thomas or Les Brown or someone. And then I just go for a walk and just, you know, again, flood my conscious mind with positivity. So I can get through that moment, but then you get back to work. See, that's the thing, is like people get in that mood and they stop working, right? So if you stop working, you're not working towards that thing that you want. And the thing that I want is, like I said, I want to get that new spot. And again, it's not about me. And because personally, I don't want to be famous at all. It's like when I'm done, when I'm in my own personal space, I don't want to be bothered. But like when you're known, it's part of it. Unfortunately, it's part of it. You're going to go places where people are like, hey, I know you. I've seen you on TV. You know, cause like I've been on TV before and I've gotten that before, but like having that mindset, I'm making it about me, but my mission isn't about me. My mission is about helping people who are hurting. So if I have to be inconvenienced at the supermarket to help thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions of people, then I'm willing to pay that price.
Yeah. Well, dude, as you and I have talked here today, it's just one of those, Robert, where I love the fact that you're looking at it. Hey, this is where I'm at currently. This is my reality. Choosing not to camp out on the negative, but instead, what are the options before me? And what can I do? What are the resources I have available? Who's around me? And not being inauthentic with yourself, because that slows us down. So, Robert, man, I love what you've shared. Thank you for sharing your story and your insights and just the experiences that you've gone through, man. outside of this podcast, how can guys connect with you, my friend?
So the best way to connect is I'm most active on Facebook, as you know, I'm 50. So it's like I do a little bit on Instagram, and that's only because my Instagram is connected to my Facebook. So whenever I post on Facebook, it'll post to Instagram. But yeah, but that's my personal profile is facebook.com/rfoster74. And then my public page on Facebook is at Robert B. Foster.
Gotcha. And that'll be in the show notes as well, my friend. So, Robert, thank you very much. And, dude, so appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much, my friend, for joining me on another episode. If you found the information within the show helpful, please leave a review on the platform you're listening to. It helps raise the show's visibility so other men can join us in breaking free. See you on the next episode, and remember to continue putting yourself out there. Have a great one.